the Fan. McMonagle here with you on this Tuesday morning, taking you for five, you know it, five straight hours until the warm-up show at 5 a.m., 888-808-1019. We got Rami Lavi on the other side. Rami Lavi, he likes to party. He don't cause trouble. He don't bother nobody. 888-808-1019. I don't know why I just said that. It popped into my head for some reason in the rhythm I said it. All right, Met fans. We're going to start with what was a very important win for the New York Mets. Yes, a lot gets lost around that, and there's plenty of talking points on a 9-7 game that you felt like you're hanging on to for dear life at the end, which is ridiculous when you score six runs in the 10th inning. But this was a very important win for this New York Met team. They're embarking on a stretch right now leading into the All-Star break and leading into the deadline that is imperative for this team. And it's hard for me, I have to admit, it's hard for me to look at this team through any other lens than how they'll perform and what it'll mean for the trade deadline. It's very difficult for me. You know, for the Yankees, you know what's going to happen. Whether they're good, bad, and they've been terrible lately, Brian Cashman's going to either attempt to add or get killed for not adding. The Mets, it's a different scenario. The Mets, I don't know how Stern views it. It's our first year operating in the new Stearns era. Not the Grimace era. Not the OMG era. The David Stearns era. And we don't know how he wants to approach it. Honestly, we don't. There are some simple truths to life of operating in a New York market and what we deem some obvious scenarios once a team has proven certain things to you. But we don't know what his thought process is. We don't know how he's going to go about building this team. And we don't know what he's going to think of come the trade deadline. We've heard reports that run the gamut from clearly buying to buying and selling to whatever the other case may be. And we just don't know. So for me, as someone who believes in straight up helping a team that has shown this kind of resilience and this kind of offense and this kind of playing over the last month, I need the Mets, and you need the Mets, and Met fans need the Mets to continue winning, especially on the road against teams like Washington and Pittsburgh and Washington, like you will stay, you will face over the next 2 weeks, and especially to show this group that you can bounce back. Because if this would have been a loss, if you have a third consecutive loss, that puts a damper on all the fun. All right. I know there's a lot. I've heard the term fun police has been out there over the last couple of days. You know what else has been out there a lot? This is a little sidebar. I don't know why I'm going to get into it, but I am. A lot of people throw out on the bingo card lately. Have you noticed that? I felt like that expression really wasn't around a lot. I haven't heard that a lot. All of a sudden, didn't have, you know, so-and-so. I didn't have, you know, Johnny Jones hitting, you know, fifth and DHing on my bingo card. Like, all of a sudden, everyone's throwing out bingo card. I don't know. And I've heard fun police over the last couple of days. Well, I don't have to be the fun police, or anybody else doesn't have to be the fun police. If you lose three consecutive games, including one to the Nationals, a team you are competing with in this wild card race, and after the concert and after all the other noise, and you saw Grimace out, you know, in Washington in full effect, all the fun that the Mets want to wrap up in it only works if you're winning. So these are important games. This was an important game to get back on the winning ways and not have a three-game losing streak in the middle of all this. And this offense continues to be resilient. And what I love most about it, now obviously they only score three runs in the game. You know, Gore kind of shuts them down, even though they get some base runners and hit some balls hard. And Peterson had, you know, a pretty damn good game for him. I mean, that's about as, you know, resilient. And I know this offense isn't very much for the Nationals, but this offense for the Mets in particular, what I love about it is their ability. Like right now, you know, in the sixth inning, when Tyrone Taylor hits that ball and it gets through Abrams' legs, you know the Mets are going to make you pay for that. That is one of the hallmarks of a good team, a good offense, and a dangerous offense. That's what. And I hate to harken back to the teams, but like that's what those late 90s teams for the New York Yankees were. You could not make a mistake against that Yankee offense, they were going to figure out a way to make you pay for it. And when that ball goes through the legs of Abrams, instead of ending the inning, you know, and especially Alvarez, who we've talked about the impact of Alvarez, and we've talked about how important he is and their record with him and without him, and his, you know, the numbers of the pitching staff and everything. He's got a flair for those moments. And I just knew he was going to come through. And honestly, I don't know. I know Met fans, it's different. It's you're stubborn. And for Yankee fans, you never feel your Yankees are going to do it when they're playing poorly. And the Met fan has this, you know, it's hard to be positive. But with this team right now, I got the vibes of the minute that ball rolled through Abrams' legs, the Mets are going to figure out a way to score runs. And that is a different world than what we're expecting. Or what we've been used to, excuse me, over the last, really this season, the last 2 years, where you know the Mets are going to come through. And that's what I love about this offense. And then J.D. Martinez with the enormous home run to give them the three-run lead after Bader gets hurt, and J.D. Martinez has a two-strike count on him, and they make a mistake. And he hangs a pitch in the middle of the plate with two strikes, a pitch that never should have been anywhere near where it was. And Martinez, who for my money is the beginning of all this. Now, I don't know if he's the most important part of everything that's happened along the way. Him getting hot was the beginning. Him hitting that home run against the Marlins for me was the beginning of this Met team and this offensive explosion that they've had over the last 3 weeks. That was the beginning for me. Now, Alvarez has been important. Vientos has been important. Lindor at the top of the order has been important. You know, guys coming through at the bottom of the lineup, whether it's, you know, Taylor or Bader or, you know, whomever, like, it's all been important. And they've all had different times of being the ones who were the most important. Nimmo's power surge, and obviously, you know, Nimmo hits his head in the bathroom. I mean, you can't make it up. You can't make it up. If he comes up with time travel, we got a real interesting story. If he comes up with the flux capacitor, then we really have an interesting story on our hands. Rami, please, just, you don't have to get on air. Just acknowledge you got the reference. Okay, thank you, please. I was going to lose it for a second. But whether it's him, whether it's whomever, like, J.D. Martinez got this thing rolling, and that was an enormous home run. And then to keep it going and to have Iglesias and the OMG hit that home run and build on it, all great. You knew they would come through. Yes, the Mets. Yes, the Mets. Now let's get to the bad. This bullpen is awful, right? The bullpen is a serious problem. And now over the last handful of games, without Diaz, it has really shown and reared its ugly head. And the idea you had to hold on to this game for dear life, and the idea the manager went so long with Jay in this game in the 10th inning boggles my mind. I think Mendoza's been a great manager for this team. I've loved almost everything he's done. But I understand that Reed Garrett hasn't been, you know, what he was at the beginning of the year over the last few weeks. And I understand that, you know, Jay's a lefty and there were some lefties in this lineup at that point. But you cannot get beat. I mean, you cannot. And whether it's, you know, Nunez came in and did a pretty good job. Obviously, they blow the lead on a fluky play. I got to watch that play again from Tyron Taylor and see exactly what kind of hop he got. But they played some poor defense in this game as well. If you want to look at it, the defense in this game, although there were some rockets hit at him, especially Lindor, who made some nice plays and they turned some double plays. But obviously, Diekman throwing the ball away to start the inning in the ninth, whether it's Taylor in the eighth blowing that play and allowing the ball to get behind him in the tying run to score. Like, there was a little bit of sloppy defense, but this bullpen is now a serious problem. And they've been unable to come up with any answers. And listen, it's not easy to come up. Right now, they're down Diaz. They've lost, I mean, countless guys. They lost Reed Foley. They've lost Brooks Raley. They're down Drew Smith. Like, they're down a bunch of different guys. And that's why, for me, these wins are so important when there is a glaring issue staring you in the face with this team that needs to be fixed. They need to bring, and they need to do it now. The reports came out today that apparently Brian Cashman is now scouring Major League Baseball for relief pitching. I think, Stearns, I think this team has shown you enough. Look at how they battle. Look at how they fight. get out there early and see if you can pick up someone to help along the way. I know Diaz is going to come back, what was it, 6 or 7? So he's like 4 games away from returning. But we don't know what kind of player he's going to be. We don't know what kind of pitcher he's going to be when he returns from his 10-game absence. This bullpen, whether it's Diekman, whether it's even, Reed Garrett, obviously Ottavino's fallen out of favor. Just right now, you look at this bullpen, you don't trust anyone to come in and really throw strikes. Over the last couple of games, the amount of walks, I mean, you can't score 6 runs. 6 runs in the top of the 10th inning. And then have your reliever come in and walk the leadoff man. That is unacceptable. That is unacceptable. And you cannot have that game in the balance against the Nationals when you scored 6 runs in the top of the 10th. So there are positives. There is a resilience to this team. There is something about this offense right now that I have faith in, even when they get held down for the most part against Gore, who they've been successful against in the early parts of his career here. They get kind of shut down, but they come through. You make a mistake, they pounce. And then when the game is on the line, after having an opportunity in the bottom of the 9th, after Diekman throws the ball away, and the young prospect Wood, who got his first major league hit in this game, as Wood is able to get to second base on a terrible throw from Diekman, and they don't move the runner over, they don't bunt. For all of you bunt lovers and all of you people who tell me the Yankees can't win because they don't bunt and don't move runners over, I know the Nationals aren't a very good team, but they hit a ground ball to third base with an opportunity to win the game. But the Mets get through that. They get to the 10th. They score 6 runs, and you're still hanging on for dear life. This was a huge win. The offense continues to impress, but it is quite clear. This Met bullpen, it is no longer an option for me. And this is what you get. And this is where, again, as I said, it's hard for me to view it this Met season and this Met team right now through any other lens than what are they going to do at the deadline. It's obnoxious, honestly, because it's hard for me to watch the games without that in the back of my mind. Or how does this play into it? How does that play into it? Every win matters. Every loss can tell you something. And it's a frustrating way to go about a 162-game sport. But that's how it is right now with the Mets. And for me, this game is an absolute perfect example that, honestly, Stearns is obviously watching. He should look at this game and go, look at what I have. Look at what I have. I have depth in the starting rotation where Severino's pitched well. I mean, there's even report, I'm thinking in my mind if I'm Stearns for a moment, let me role play. I've got enough depth between, Budo and Scott and Lucchese where I feel like I've got enough in this rotation where I could possibly even sell and still be in a good spot. Which I think is absolutely crazy. But that's how much I feel about the starting pitching. I've got an offense that has just been on fire and the best offense in Major League Baseball for a month now. They pounce on you every time you make a mistake. They come through in every big spot. They have the flair for the dramatic. You make a mistake, they will make you pay for it. And they're holding on, doing everything they can to hold on despite having a bullpen that can't win. In some way, shape, or form, this has got to be the perfect game to send to Stearns and go, look at what you have and look at what you need. Because all it takes is a couple of relievers. Don't play this game of selling off and buying and all this nonsense. Go out there and do what is now clear, what needs to be done, and add some relievers. And so make up your mind and do it as soon as possible. I understand that so many teams aren't in it. I understand that there's limited relievers out there and limited teams looking to sell. But this should be no longer a discussion on a day-to-day basis. He shouldn't do press conferences and say, well, we'll see. Because I think we have seen. And I've also seen the rest of this lousy National League wild card. I've seen enough. I've seen enough from this offense. I've seen enough from Lindor at the top of the order. I've seen enough even with Nimmo out of the game. I've seen enough from Taylor and Bader and even the lesser guys at the back end of the lineup. And then, of course, I've seen enough from J.D. Martinez. I've seen enough from Francisco Alvarez. I've seen enough. I believe in this team. Wins like last night are the perfect excuse to say, please help them. Because on one hand, they show you exactly why they deserve it. And on the other hand, they show you exactly why they need it. Go help the New York Mets. 1217, McMonagle here with you on the Fan. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Yankees as well, as they look to open a series against the Reds and hopefully continue their winning ways. We'll get to, obviously, Hartenstein. We talked a lot about it last night during the show when the writing was on the wall for him leaving for the Thunder, but we'll get to it and what it means for the Knicks. We'll also get to the Rangers and what I think is being perceived by a lot of Ranger fans as an ineffective and quiet first day of free agency, as everyone they were targeting left for maybe crazy contracts, but and contracts you wouldn't necessarily want to sign. But at some point, this team is right at the precipice of winning a championship. Maybe you had to do a little bit more. So we'll get to Drury and his decisions with the Rangers, and then we'll get to Brian Daboll and his decision and what it seems like will be to have the play calling duties this year, which in my mind is the right decision. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. So we got a lot to get to over the course of the next 4 hours and 40 minutes or so, but your Met phone calls next right here on The Fan.